The Christmas Room, A Story of Hope by Jeffrey Adams. Once, in a place quite nearby, but still different from here, there lived an old man named Ned. Ned lived in a tiny attic room that was cold at night and hot during the summer, and too small at every time of year. Ned didn't like the room very much, but he didn't much like the idea of leaving it either. After all, people left Ned alone up in his attic room, and if there was one thing Ned disliked the most in this world, it was people.
What is it?
Hello, Ned.
Hello yourself.
Now, there was one thing about this room I should mention. It was located high up in the attic of a church.
How are you today?
That shy, nervous man is the pastor of the church. Pastor Knack is his name. He's very nice and very wise, but Ned frightens Pastor Knack a little bit.
I'm fine. Now get out.
But then, Ned frightens everybody. Now, Pastor Knack was very good at his job. He not only did the regular pastor things like marrying people and baptizing babies, he did a really nice job of helping everyone he could. In fact, the room up in his church attic that Ned was staying in was originally a closet, but Pastor Knack thought it would be better if that room were turned into a place for anyone who might need it. Ned had come with just such an emergency 3 years earlier and decided to stay. That was a real problem for Pastor Knack.
He's got to go.
But not such a problem for Mrs. Wilson, his church secretary.
Now, Miss Wilson.
No, I don't want to hear another word. That closet.
Guest room.
Yes, guest room is there for people who need it in an emergency, not for vagrants who want to stay there rent-free for years at a time.
Please, your voice, Miss Wilson. He might hear you.
He can't hear me when I'm standing next to him. He's as deaf as a post.
Be patient. We were never expecting to make money from that room, and I don't see the sense of turning him out now. It's nearly Christmas, after all, and we can't turn him out at Christmas.
But what if someone needs the room? I mean, really needs it.
We'll just cross that bridge when we come to it.
Now, it's funny that Pastor Knack should say that particular thing right then, because as it happened, only 2 blocks away on the cold, windy streets of the city, there walked a young woman in an old, old coat, and a little girl only about 8 years old with a slightly newer coat. Her name was Karen, and with her was her mother. Earlier that day, the two of them had arrived by bus from a distant town and had been walking around ever since. The truth was, they were out of money, and the woman was trying to figure out what to do.
Mommy?
Just a second, hon. Oh, these shoes.
Maybe we should stop walking.
Are you tired, sweetheart?
Yeah, but so are you. Maybe we should go back to the hamburger place. Only this time, you'll get to eat. I'll just play on the playground.
Oh, Karen. I don't think we can afford that.
What can we afford?
I'll think of something. Looks like I'd better make it quick, too. I think that's snow.
Yay! Snow! It's pretty. Look at it dancing up in the streetlights.
Yeah.
Mommy, look up there on the hill.
What? What is it?
It's a church. I didn't see it until I looked up into the streetlights. A church is God's house, right? He always has room.
Karen, I don't think.
Come on!
Before Karen's mother could do much about it, Karen had grasped her hand and began pulling her right up to the church door. And pulled her right inside.
Oh, it's okay.
And of course, Pastor Knack, being very good at his job, was more than happy to give Karen and her mom a place to sleep.
As it happens, we have a room in this very church reserved for such a situation as this.
Now, there's an interesting thing you should know about Pastor Knack. He's, well, a little forgetful. He was so happy to help Karen and her mom, and so happy that the special room in the church attic was going to be put to good use, that he completely forgot about Ned already being there. He got some blankets and pillows and turned on the light on the stairway. all the while chatting away about this and that, and never once remembering that in the room at the top of the stairs...
Now, it's not much, but it should do for the night. And in the morning, we can go to work on...
What is it?
Was Ned.
Oh, dear.
Hi, I'm Karen. We're going to be roommates.
What do you think Ned will say to that? To find out, be sure to listen to Calls to Santa on this radio station tomorrow at this time. The Christmas Room, A Story of Hope by Jeffrey Adams. Part 2, Ned's Surprise. Last time on The Christmas Room, we met Ned, a grumpy man who lived way up in a cold attic room all by himself. But this room wasn't really his. It belonged to a church led by a very nice man named Pastor Knack. One night, a little girl named Karen and her mother came to the church for a place to sleep. Pastor Knack was very happy to help them. But the only place to sleep in the church was Ned's little attic room. And Pastor Knack told Karen and her mom they could have it before he remembered Ned was already there. As we join the story now, Pastor Knack has just opened the door to the tiny room, and Ned, who was sort of asleep, yelled at them in a very cross voice. That's when Karen said,
Hi, we're going to be roommates.
What's that?
I'm sorry, Ned. I'm just...
What's going on here?
We're very sorry. Come on, Karen.
What's wrong?
We need to go.
Why?
We've come to the wrong place.
Oh, please, let me explain.
You're kicking me out, is that it?
No, of course. Well...
I knew it on the coldest night of the year, too.
Sir, we didn't mean to disturb you. We'll leave.
You don't understand. It's all my fault. I'm very forgetful sometimes.
Oh, that's all right. We'll just...
Sleep in the corner.
Karen.
There's a lot of room, and the man won't kick us out. He just said it's the coldest night of the year.
Oh, I won't, will I?
Ned, please.
Your name is Ned. Hi, I'm Karen.
Toss me out right on my ear.
Of course not. We'll just
wait,
go.
Wait! Ned, no one is going to toss you out. It's far too cold an evening for anyone to be on the streets.
Well, I don't want anyone.
And Ned, we have enjoyed your company for some time without asking anything of you. I think it's not too much to ask you to offer up, one small corner of your room for these people.
I thought it was my room.
I'm sorry, Ned. It's the church's room.
We don't want to be...
That's all right. It's just a misunderstanding. I'll run and get some blankets that we have and a mattress, and we can just fit it in the corner.
Ned was angry, but he didn't say anything. Mostly, he was just surprised because this was the first time Pastor Knack had ever stood up to him. Ever. So with nothing else to do, Ned rolled over, shut his eyes real tight, and pretended there was no one else in the room. In a few minutes, Pastor Knack returned with a mattress, some sheets, and two extra warm blankets. The mattress was quite small, but by snuggling close together, Karen and her mom just managed to fit. When they were all snuggled and warm, Karen's mom said,
Okay, honey, time to say your prayers.
Dear God, thank you for Grandma Ruth and Aunt Reba. And please help Mommy find a job really soon. Oh, and thank you for the nice man who gives us this place to sleep and help the grumpy man in the room with us. Oh yeah, and God, it's Christmas down here, and I know we're supposed to be celebrating Jesus' birthday, and not just getting presents and stuff, but please could I have the Christmas room I told you about? That's the little room with the warm fireplace and the Christmas decorations that will stay up all year round, so everyone can remember that Christmas needs to come every day. If it's going to do any good, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, now be extra quiet.
Okay, Mom. Butterfly kisses.
Butterfly kiss.
Mommy, did I say something to make you sad?
No, honey. I just have something in my eye.
Okay, Good night.
And with that, Karen rolled over, closed her eyes, and drifted off to sleep. After a little bit, Karen's mother began to breathe peacefully, and then the only person left awake in the whole room was Ned. Now, Ned, if you remember, did not like people. He especially didn't like sharing his room with them. But as he lay there, listening to Karen and her mother sleep, something strange happened to Ned. He decided to give them the room.
Need someplace with a little more privacy, anyway.
So Ned got up very quietly and tiptoed around the room until he'd gotten all his stuff, which really just added up to one small bag's worth, then carefully opened the door, stepped through it, turned back to close it as quietly as he could. Then...
Where are you going?
Give me a coronary!
I'm sorry, but where are you going?
I gotta go. Things that I had to do. And the government. I work for the government. Secret agent stuff.
Oh, I need you to help me first.
What?
Shh! You'll wake up, Mommy. Here, I'll close the door.
You should get back in bed.
You need to help me first.
Help you with what?
I need you to pray with me.
Didn't you do that before?
That was just goodnight prayers. I need to pray something special for Mommy.
Well, maybe your mother should help.
No, you can't pray for someone with them helping you. It'll be better if she doesn't know.
Look, I really gotta go.
Please, it will only take a minute.
Okay.
Okay, get down on your knees.
What?
It's more real that way. Come on.
Oh. There. Now what?
Just bow your head and pray. I'll do all the talking.
Oh, that's big of you.
Okay, here we go.
What do you think Karen is going to pray? What do you think Ned will do next? To find out, be sure to listen to Calls to Santa on this radio station tomorrow at 6 p.m. The Christmas Room, A Story of Hope by Jeffrey Adams. Part 3, The Key. If you remember our story so far, there once was a little girl named Karen.
Hi!
Who came from far, far away with her mother.
Hello.
To look for a job and a place to stay, and really just make a new life. The first night Karen and her mother were in town, it was very cold outside, and they didn't know where they were going to sleep until Karen noticed a church up on a hill. There, they met Pastor Knack.
Welcome.
Who was more than happy to give them a place to stay. Unfortunately, the room Pastor Knack had in mind was being used by a man named Ned. A man named Ned. Ned?
Oh, all right. Hello.
Who was really kind of grumpy. But since it was cold outside, Karen and her mother moved in and said their prayers before going to sleep. That's when Karen mentioned the Christmas room. A special place she had always dreamed of, where Christmas decorations were up all through the year. Something about hearing that prayer made Ned think he should leave and let Karen and her mom have the room to themselves. But as he was leaving, Karen stopped him and asked,
"Would you help me pray, please?"
"What for?"
"It's for my mom. I'm worried about her."
"Well, maybe you should..."
"I'll do all the talking. You just have to pray along. Here, get down on your knees. Are you okay?"
"Fine."
"Okay. Dear God, it's me, Karen, again. I just wanted to say that Mommy really needs your help. She's sad all the time now, and she knows I can't have my Christmas room if we don't have our own house. So could you please help her find a job? And could you please help me from asking for the Christmas room ever again? I think that's what's making her so sad. And it's not really important anyway. Just make her happy again. That's all I really want for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Ned. I'm going back to bed. Do you need help getting up?
Of course not. What is this Christmas room you're going on about?
Oh, it's just from a story I read once.
You read?
Uh-huh. Mom likes to go to libraries because they're free.
And you read a story?
Yes. It was all about a little room in a house that was decorated for Christmas all year long.
Well, so what?
It would be wonderful. There would be a tree there all the time, and a fireplace, and a bookcase full of Christmas books. And everyone could go there and have hot chocolate, even if it was 100 degrees outside. Everyone could remember Christmas all year.
And you'd be willing to give that up just so your mom is happy?
Well, I guess if Mom were happy, I'd have Christmas every day anyway.
Ned was very quiet for a long time. Finally, he took Karen's hand and got up. Then he looked at Karen, really looked at her for the first time, and something in Ned's eyes softened just a little bit, as if Karen was reminding him of someone he hadn't thought about in a long time. Then Ned put a hand on Karen's shoulder and said,
"Run along back to bed. Your ma'll be missing you."
"Thank you for praying with me."
And she hugged him.
Wait.
Before he could do anything about it. Then Karen ran back into the little room at the top of the church and closed the door silently. Ned just stood in the hallway for a very, very long time. He thought about the praying, and about Karen, and about some things he hadn't thought about in years. Ned left the church that night, and he spent a good part of that cold, cold evening walking the streets of the town thinking. Meanwhile, Karen and her mother, both very tired from what had been a really long day, slept right through the night and into the morning. Not long after the sun came streaming through the frozen window of the little room, a knock came at the door.
Are you decent? It's Pastor Knack.
Yes. Is it time for us to leave?
No, heavens no. Take your time.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Karen?
Oh, of course. Yes, did you sleep? Good, excellent. There's a note for you.
I'm sorry?
A note for you. An envelope was under my office door when I arrived this morning, and I think there's something in it.
What is it, Mommy?
I don't know.
Open it. I love surprises.
It's a key?
Oh my, yes. And there's a note.
Come to 272 Maple Lane today after 1 o'clock. That's it. That's all it says.
It's a mystery!
Do you know anyone at that address?
No, it's an older part of town. Quite fashionable many years ago.
Come on, Mom!
Whoa, slow down, Squirt.
We gotta get ready. We've got a date!
A few hours later, Karen and her mother were walking down a quiet sidewalk in a neighborhood filled with huge houses. Some were beautiful. Some weren't. All were old. Because Karen was very smart, she knew how to count addresses. As she passed number 262 and 264, she began to get very excited.
266, 268, it's just about here.
Karen, honey, slow down.
No, Mommy, we're just about there. There it is!
Honey, wait.
Looking up ahead, Karen saw number 272. It was one of the most dingy and beat-up houses on the block, with weeds in the front yard and paint peeling off of the sides. It looked like no one had lived there for many years.
Karen, wait!
Now Karen should have obeyed her mother, but she was just too excited. She ran up to the door and put the key in the lock.
Karen!
And then the door opened. Do you want to know what happens next? You'll have to tune your radio to this station tomorrow to find out. The Christmas Room, A Story of Hope by Jeffrey Adams. Part 4, The House on Maple Lane. If you remember our story so far, you'll remember that Karen, a little girl about your age, has come with her mother to a city to find a new life just around Christmas time. They spent their first night in the city inside a church that was pastored by a very nice man named Pastor Knack. Pastor Knack had Karen and her mom stay in the room that sort of belonged to a not very nice man named Ned. But after Ned heard Karen pray with her mother one night about how times were tough for them, he decided to give them the room to themselves. Ned snuck out after he thought Karen and her mother were fast asleep. But Karen woke up and asked Ned to please pray with her so she wouldn't keep asking for things and making her mother sad. More than anything in the world, Karen wanted a house with a special room, a Christmas room, that would be decorated for Christmas all year long. Now, Karen and her mother have followed a mysterious note all the way across town to an old, dilapidated house. And as Karen reaches up to try the key that was left them, her mother says,
"Wait, honey, Karen, we don't know anything about this place.
We've come all this way. At least let me look inside."
I don't know.
"Well, I'm cold, Mom. Can't we at least go inside and get out of the wind?"
"I guess, but just for a minute."
Thank you.
"Careful, honey, that door looks old."
Wow!
Oh my.
"Mommy, this is huge. Does anyone live here?"
"From the looks of the dust, I don't think so."
"But they've got furniture and everything. Look at the shelves."
"Careful, honey, don't touch anything."
"They've got books and little figures and all kinds of stuff. It's like someone moved out of the house but left all their things behind."
Karen and her mother moved slowly through the first floor of the house, looking carefully at everything. It was as if someone had just abandoned the house years before. They couldn't figure out why anyone would leave a perfectly good house like that. After about an hour, Karen and her mom sat down for a family meeting on a big, comfy couch in the living room.
"Do you think somebody just gave us this house?"
"No, honey, I don't know.
"It's nice."
"It's very nice. All it really needs is a good cleaning."
"Can we stay here tonight?"
"I don't think so."
"But Mom, it's already dark outside. And didn't you look on the back porch? Someone left a bag of groceries. Maybe an angel gave us this house."
"Well, I don't think it was an angel, but whoever it was, I don't suppose it would hurt to stay one night."
"Yeah!
I'm hungry, are you?"
"Starved."
So, Karen and her mom went to work in the kitchen, putting together a modest meal from the groceries left on the back porch. After eating, Karen went to explore the house while her mom sat down on the big couch to look at an old photo album she'd found on the shelf. As she turned the pages past black and white photos of people she didn't know, looking for some clue as to who the house might belong to, Karen's mom found herself getting drowsy, and presently she drifted off to sleep. A while later, Karen found her mom on the couch. She snuggled up with her, and before long, both of them were snoozing peacefully. The next day dawned bright and clear and freezing cold. It was Christmas Eve. Karen and her mom were happy to wake up in a cozy house that was all warm and out of the wind. The front of this old house had an old-fashioned porch that was as big as the living room itself. And because the house was built on a small hill, the view from that porch was the whole city, spread out like a blanket. Karen and her mom stepped out onto the porch that morning to get a little air.
"Wow!
Quite a view."
"It's like the whole town is there just for us."
"Honey, don't get too attached to this house."
"I'm not."
"We just don't know enough about it. I'm not even sure we were supposed to stay here last night."
"Mom!"
"What is it?"
"Look! It's a package."
"That looks... That's a turkey."
"It is? I didn't think they made them that big. Oh, look! There's a tree, too."
"Is that a note?"
Oh, read it, read it!
Please prepare this bird for dinner tonight, and decorating the tree should keep your little one busy. You'll find everything you need in the pantry. I'm sorry to be so secretive, but you'll find out tonight at 6. Well, that's assuming a lot. I don't even know if I can cook something like this.
Yeah, you can. You helped Grandma that time. She always said turkeys are easy.
Well, let's see if we can get it in the house first.
The rest of the day, Karen and her mom were kept completely busy getting ready for that evening. But even though it was a lot of hard work, Karen's mom couldn't stop smiling. After all, making Christmas dinner in a warm kitchen was more fun than searching for shelter, and after a while, she stopped worrying about the house and who it belonged to altogether. Karen found some Christmas ornaments in the basement and spent all day decorating and redecorating the tree as she discovered new ornaments to add. As 6 o'clock grew closer, both of them began to get nervous. There was less work to distract them from wondering who had done this wonderful thing. And finally, after what seemed like hours and hours of just waiting...
Should I let them in?
Yes. Yeah, Karen, let them in.
Tomorrow is the last chapter of The Christmas Room. Be sure to tune in at 6 p.m. to hear how it all turns out. The Christmas Room, A Story of Hope by Jeffrey Adams. Part 5, The Perfect Christmas. If you remember from last time, Karen and her mom, homeless and in a new city at Christmas time, met Pastor Knack, the pastor of the church where they spent their first night in the new city. We also met Ned, a grumpy old man, who did a nice thing by giving Karen and her mom his room. But after that, mysterious things began to happen. A key arrived for Karen and her mom, along with instructions to go to an address. There, they found an old abandoned house with new groceries in the kitchen. And the next day, a turkey and a Christmas tree appeared on the front porch, with instructions to prepare a Christmas dinner to be ready at 6 o'clock that night. That's just what Karen and her mom did. And at the stroke of 6...
Mommy, can I?
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, I'm nervous.
Me too.
Merry Christmas.
Pastor Knack?
It was you?
I had quite a hard time finding this place. What?
You? It was you?
At the door? Yeah, it was me. I'm sorry. Were you expecting someone else?
Well, I don't know. Didn't you send us to this house?
Heavens, no. I've never laid eyes on it before.
Ugh, I don't know what to think.
Come on, Mom. Pastor Knack came for dinner, right?
I certainly did. I got a note in my office this afternoon saying just that.
You got a note?
Yes, very mysterious. But I noticed the address was the same as the one on your note, so I couldn't resist.
Then let's eat. I'm starving.
Oh.
What's wrong?
Pastor, we don't know who sent us the key to this house. But whoever did that, they also sent us all the fixings for a turkey dinner and a Christmas tree.
I decorated it.
I can see that.
And now... I think he's finally here.
Oh. Would you like me to answer the door?
Would you?
Oh, of course.
Hello.
Ned! You came to dinner?
Oh. You having a... I mean, sure I came to dinner.
Well, I don't think we should stand here with the door open any longer than is necessary. Come on in, Ned.
Thanks.
Now can we eat?
So they did. Ned and Pastor Knack came into the table and sat right down. Pastor Knack fussed and complimented Karen's mother so much she actually blushed. And Karen kept jumping up from the table to bring more food. And she seemed to have a story about each and every dish, what she had done to help, and how most of them were special foods that had been passed on from her grandmother down to her mom. But all through dinner, Karen's mother kept looking at Ned as if she were trying to decide if he could be the one responsible for the house, the feast, and everything. All through dinner, they talked and laughed and told stories about Christmas's past. Karen's mother told a story about the house she grew up in, and Pastor Knack told a very funny story about his first Christmas away from home. And they kept eating and eating until all of them were fit to burst. During a quiet moment when no one was saying anything, Karen looked at Ned and said,
"You haven't told the story, Ned."
I guess I haven't.
Karen, he might
have... No, it's all right. About time I said my piece anyway. Your mother over there is about to bust.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. Family been through what you've been through. I shouldn't have done all the notes and whatnot. I guess I didn't know what to say.
Well, what would you like to say, Ned?
It's this house. My story, I mean. This house is mine. Owned it for 40 years.
If this is your house, why are you...
Gosh, Karen.
That's all right. I'll tell you, little girl, I lived here for 40 years. First off with my own daughter, then later my granddaughter. We had many, many wonderful Christmases here, and I'll never forget them. But there was one year I was living here alone. Carrie, that's my daughter, was coming down for dinner. I didn't want her to. They said fog and maybe black ice. There was a car accident.
Oh, Ned.
It was this house. I told her to stay put at home, not to drive down, and she wouldn't hear of it. She wanted to have Christmas dinner here. I guess after that I just never forgave this old house for staying empty. I closed up the place and left it to rot. I stayed away for a long time. But I guess no wound can stay open forever, and yesterday I came back to see if the place could be of some good use to someone.
That's a very sad story.
Yep. Now, Missy, I know you have a story you ain't brought up yet.
What do you mean?
I seem to remember a story about a certain room.
Oh.
At that point, Karen smiled and nodded sheepishly. Suddenly, she felt very shy. She loved talking about the Christmas room, the wonderful room she'd always dreamed of that would stay decorated for Christmas all year round. But lately, Karen had been worried that talking about the Christmas room was making her mother sad. So, feeling a little mixed up, and maybe a little worried for her mother, Karen, for one of the few times in her life, said nothing. Ned looked at her, and for the first time in years, smiled. Then, Ned held out his hard, wrinkled hand and got up.
Come along, Missy. There's something you should see.
Karen got up from the table and took Ned's hand. Pastor Knack and Mom got up as well and followed Ned up the main stairs to the second floor of the old house. Then they followed Ned through a door Karen and her mom hadn't even had time to notice before. It opened on a tiny staircase that wound up to an attic. And in one corner of the attic, there was another door.
What is this place, Ned?
Just the attic. But a few years ago, I framed off one corner for a separate room. It was for my granddaughter. She was an artist and wanted the room for a studio. Until a day or so ago, I hadn't been up here in years. Go on, Karen. Door's unlocked.
Oh, my.
Oh!
And the door opened on a perfect little room. The wallpaper was bright with red Santas and little teddy bears. A small Christmas tree stood in the corner, all decorated and lit with twinkling lights. Against one wall was a real fireplace with a tiny fire crackling happily. There were four comfy chairs and a whole bookcase that Karen guessed was full of Christmas books. And all around the room were garlands and wreaths and mistletoe. And on the tiny, round window that looked out toward the street, frost had formed and snowflakes were flying by.
My granddaughter, she always liked Christmas. I couldn't think of a better use for this little room than that. Is it all right?
It's perfect.
And it was. For the rest of that evening, the four of them stayed in the Christmas room. Karen read from books about Dasher and Dancer and Frosty the Snowman and the baby Jesus. And by the time it was dark, when all of them were a little sleepy, Ned asked Karen and her mother to stay in the house as long as they wanted. And of course, they said yes. Over time, they became a family, and Ned was just as a grandfather to Karen. And through it all, the Christmas room remained exactly as Ned had made it. And even after years had passed, and Karen had moved out and started a family of her own, she would still come back to the old house and spend some time in the Christmas room now and again to remind her that Christmas isn't doing much if it isn't every day of the year. And for the rest of her life, forever and for always, Karen never forgot that. Good thing to remember, don't you think?
The Christmas Room starred Courtney Sinclair as Karen, Anna Remus as Karen's mom, Stephen Sinclair as Pasternak, Neil Smith as Ned, and Ayla McIntosh was the secretary and your narrator. The Christmas Room was written and directed by Jeffrey Adams. Calls to Santa was produced and directed by Harley Droba. Your telephone elves were Harley Droba, Jeff Adams, and Ayla McIntosh. For more information on the Icebox Radio Theater, visit them on the web at iceboxradio.org.
It can be in the sound of the orchestra preparing, or in the sound of a sculptor working in stone, or even in the sound of laughter from inside a theater. It is the sound of art being created, and for over three decades, the sound of art being created has rung loud and clear in northeastern Minnesota. The Arrowhead Regional Arts Council has been encouraging local arts development in northeastern Minnesota through grants and services for over 35 years. Every year, they give out more than $500,000 to local artists and arts organizations, and that helps create $40 million in revenue and jobs created. To find out more about our arts programs or how you can get involved, visit aracouncil.org. The Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, where the arts flourish, you thrive.